We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between two and five players to fill out your pick'em slip. Get every pick right and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
Virginia, weighing 250 pounds, Mr. USA Tony Atlas. His opponent will be led towards the ring by Slick from Tampa, Florida, weighing 268 pounds.
Of course, Hercules Hernandez. What a matchup here. These two, Atlas and Hernandez. A matchup of strength as well as all-around athletic ability. Look at Slick strutting his goods. I wonder just how much he paid for half of the contract on Volkov, Sheik, and Hernandez.
Well, knowing Fred Blassie, you know that he had to pay a ton for Blassie to give any percentage of his former champions. Away. I just can't imagine, because Blassie doesn't give anything away. So it must have cost this man a ton. But talking about a ton, you have two men in this ring now who both pride themselves to be power, strength, their thing. Now, the question is, entries. It's going to be a fierce strike to see who's looking out strength the other. It's going to be interesting, and I'll tell you what, I don't know. I don't know who's the stronger of the two.
Well, we saw Hercules posing a moment ago. Look at arm drag takedown. Atlas drawing first blood, so to speak. Nice maneuver.
Well, I think that surprised Hernandez because here he figures he's going to be matched here. It's going to be a feat of strength here, and Atlas fooled him by catching with a quick arm drag. I don't think Hernandez was expecting that.
Standing side headlock. By the way, earlier on, ladies and gentlemen, we had an occasion to chit-chat with a man who's going to be making his debut soon in the World Wrestling Federation. Here we go now with the Honky Tonk Man.
The Honky Tonk Man's coming to the WWF. The Honky Tonk Man feels good. The Honky Tonk Man's hitting on about 18 cylinders right now. You know, I've been up 48 hours. I didn't sleep at all last night. I walked the floor over every woman in town. You know, the Honky Tonk Man's here for one reason, and one reason only. Because Hulk Hogan, the Huckster, called him. He said, Honky Tonk Man, we want to restore law and order to the WWF. I need some help, so get yourself up here. So I straddle a gray dog, and here I am, baby. Woo, mercy!
Honky Tonk Man, he's going to be something when he arrives on the scene.
Meanwhile, there's a war going on in this ring between Hernandez and Atlas. Right now, Hernandez has got the upper hand of Tony Atlas. Atlas seems to be hurt, and I'll tell you, as we expected, this is going to be a hard-fought match.
Hercules Hernandez with Tony Atlas. Atlas back on his feet, maybe not for long. Elbow right in the front of the jaw. Uh-oh, better watch it. The Slickster's out there with the... Ooh. Hercules just all over Atlas.
They found Atlas hot, though.
Trying to get himself up. Ooh, what a right hand by Hernandez, and it hardly fazed Atlas. Rock! The Slickster's gone wild. Atlas setting up Hernandez. Ooh, downstairs he goes. Atlas with Hernandez. Oh, what a suplex. That could do it.
What a
cover
suplex.
That man. No. Doesn't want to cover it. Headbutt by Atlas. Slick is going nuts. Headbutt again. Outside, Hernandez. The Slickster seeing his investment go right down the drain. Atlas with a handful of hair. Oh, he's going to bring him in. Oh, my goodness, did you see that? Slick just rocked Atlas right underneath. Atlas is ready to go out to the Slickster. Hernandez coming after it. Tony Atlas. Headbutt. Look at this. Slick trying to get Hernandez out of there.
Here's Atlas bringing in Hernandez, got it by the hair, brings him in with a suplex, I believe, right over here. Okay, and here it comes. Okay, right down, he's got there, Hernandez, just the way he wants.
Look at that.
Boom.
Nailed him.
Okay.
What a kneecap.
At three. Now, I think Slick did something. Slick did something from outside. He may have hooked, I don't know, he may have hooked Atlas's ankle, and I couldn't see it.
The cane striking the kneecap, and Hercules Hernandez gets a real cheap victory.
Hello, and welcome to the Hogan Era Podcast. I am your host, JP Jumpaz, right here on the two-man power trip of wrestling's podcasting empire, part of the TMPT feed. Here each and every week on the show, we're talking about the greatest era ever in the history of the business, 1984 to 1993 in the WWF. Some call it the Golden Era. Of course, we call it the Hogan Era. The era that made Vince McMahon into a retired billionaire. The era that launched so many superstardoms and fandoms. It is unreal. It is the era that everybody remembers as the best time period in the WWF. Not only are we talking about the immortal Hulk Hogan, we're also talking about guys like Andre the Giant, Rowdy, Roddy Piper, Macho Man Randy Savage. Ooh, yeah. And so many others. Not only are we talking about them, we're talking about the great tag teams of the eras. We're talking about some of the great Intercontinental Champions of the era. We're also talking about some of the great enhancement talent of the era as well. Sometimes we're talking about some good gimmicks. Sometimes we'll talk about some terrible gimmicks. Today we're going to be focusing in on somebody. We won't be talking about the terrible gimmick. We'll get into that maybe in another week of Sabu Simba. But we'll talk. We're today talking about Mr. USA Tony Atlas. Now, if you look at the run of Tony Atlas and WWF, former WWF Tag Team Champion, of course, eventually would join the WWE Hall of Fame. But when you look at it, what we're talking about today, we're going to really focus in on 84, 85, 86, maybe a little bit of 90, but won't go too much into Sabu Simba because I feel like that's an episode that kind of needs to be talked about all on its own as far as Tony Atlas and that gimmick is concerned. But as far as the good gimmick, Mr. USA Tony Atlas, and kind of where he started in the Hogan era, when you look at where he starts in the Hogan era, it's pretty great. He is a tag team champion. If you look at it, he wins the tag team championship on November 15th, 1983. This is obviously a few months prior to the Hogan era. The Soul Patrol of Rocky Johnson and Tony Atlas, the first ever black tag team world champions, defeated the Wild Samoans of Afa and Sika. And, of course, that match, although they won it November 15th, it wasn't aired until December 10th. And, obviously, 3 weeks later, the Hogan era really technically begins. So they are the first WWF Tag Team Champions of the Hogan era. Of course, they end up losing those Tag Team Championships to the North-South Connection of Adrian Adonis and Dick Murdoch. April 17th, Championship Wrestling TV taping from Hamburg, PA. Atlas and the Soul Man, Rocky Johnson, held that title for 154 days. Of course, when you look at Tony Atlas, not only just that tag run, if you really look, I mean, he was pretty much a champion in almost every territory he went into prior to WWE, Georgia Championship Wrestling. When he leaves WWE for a while and he goes to world class, he's a television champion and a tag team champion over for world class. So he is quite an accomplished wrestler, also an accomplished bodybuilder as well. When you look at his just totality in the business, obviously very, very legendary wrestler who made a very good run in the WWF, then maybe a not so good run in 90-91 WWF, but of course makes a 2-year run just about in WCW as well. And of course later he would make several appearances in the World Wrestling Federation, aka WWE, as well. When you look at some of the things that are happening in 1984, obviously the Hogan era begins. Where does that kind of leave Tony Atlas? At one point, getting a big push. At one point, Gorilla Press slamming Hulk Hogan over his head, and they had a brief feud in the early 80s in the WWF. So kind of one of those things where maybe the trajectory, maybe Hogan was going one way and Atlas was going the other, but obviously turned around and Hulk Hogan becomes the leader of this Hogan era and this rock and wrestling era of the WWF. But what happens to Soulman Rocky Johnson and Tony Atlas? They part ways and we're really beginning the Hogan era and, you know, in a different form. So yes, they are teaming into 1984, but once they lose the tag titles, we're going to kind of see perhaps a bit of a different direction for Tony Atlas. Not necessarily one that's going downhill because he is winning a lot of his matches. So basically May is one of the last matches for Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson teaming up together. They defeated Tiger Chung Lee and a mystery man at the War Memorial in Worcester, Mass on May 7th. On May 10th, Dr. D. David Schultz, Paul Orndorff, and Roddy Piper defeated SD Jones, Tony Atlas, and Rocky Johnson at the War Memorial in Buffalo. Then he's off for about 5 months from the WWF, takes some time off for healing some injuries, comes back, and he's just a singles guy. So October rolls around. He defeats Frank Marconi and Rene Gallet on TV. Then he defeats Mr. Fuji, Pete Doherty, Johnny Rudge, Gino Carabello, Moondog, Rex on a few shows as well. Wrestling the spoiler to a double countout. Yes, the spoiler in 84. 84 was crazy in WWF. I mean, they brought everybody in, Mr. Wrestling, the spoiler, the Freebirds, the Briscoes. 84 is just a weird time. It's almost like you're throwing stuff at the wall, trying stuff, bringing in legends from other places and see kind of where they fit. Kind of a rare and a sporadic team as far as Rocky Johnson and Tony Atlas in late 84, because technically, I know it said that it's like the last time you're teaming, but almost throwing the team back together a little bit here and there on some house shows. So Johnson and Atlas defeated the Moondogs on a house show in November. Then they defeated Dr. D. David Schultz and Greg Valentine at a house show by DQ. But then Atlas is teaming up with Tito Santana, defeating Orton and Greg Valentine. He defeats the Executioner on the MSG Network TV taping in about 2 minutes. The Executioner at that point was Big Ron Shaw. Then, of course, as we're going into 84, he is getting wins over Dr. D. David Schultz, maybe surprisingly so. Moondog Rex, Terry Gibbs, him and Andre the Giant fought Big John Studd and Ken Patera to a WDQ. He's defeating the spoiler. He's defeating Nikolai Volkoff. Him and the Tomokanga Kid are now teaming up, and they're defeating Nikolai Volkoff and Iron Sheik via countout. So, interesting kind of run there for Atlas. He's not losing many matches. And Dr. D. David Schultz, who's getting a big push at this point and was a big star, he got a couple victories over him as well. So that kind of shows you where he is, or what Vince kind of thought of him and where he might have been on the pecking order. He definitely was not getting de-pushed after the Soul Patrol. He just wasn't getting a gigantic push. He wasn't losing many matches either. They were keeping him pretty damn strong. When you look at Tony Atlas, just looks wise, the guy looks like $1 million, looks like a Greek god. You're damn right, you better kind of keep this guy going strong for as long as you can. As we roll into 1985, he's winning TV matches against Spoiler, Goldie Rogers. Him and Jimmy Snuka fought Orton and Piper to a double countout on the Prism Network TV show from the Philly Spectrum in Philly, PA. Then him and Andre and Snuka in a house show defeated Bob Orton, Big John Studd, and Paul Orndorff in quite a six-man tag. He's defeating Mr. X, Moondog Spot, Moondog Rex, Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Actually, really wasn't the barber at this point, but yeah, he's beaten Brutus Beefcake. Him and Junkyard Dog are getting tag team victories over Carl Fury and Terry Gibbs. In a Texas Tornado match on 128-85, Pittsburgh, PA, Jimmy Snuka and Tony Atlas defeated Paul Orndorff and Rowdy Roddy Piper. He got an Intercontinental Championship shot against Greg Valentine. He defeats him by DQ in Salisbury, Maryland. He's beating Moondog Spot on television on the MSG Network. His first real major loss in a while was to Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff on 2/18/85, part of the MSG taping in Madison Square Garden. Then Orton, Piper, and Morocco defeat Cactus and Lou Albano, Snuka, and Atlas at a house show. Then on the Omni Coliseum, Atlanta, Georgia, house show, Greg the Hammer Valentine defeats Tony Atlas and defends his Intercontinental title. Then in a Texas Tornado house show from Vancouver, Andre and Tony Atlas defeated Big John Studd and Patera in a Texas Tornado tag match. He gets another shot at Valentine on a house show in Highland Heights, Ohio, and beats him by DQ there. Then he gets a bunch of losses to Ken Patera and Bob Orton and Rowdy Roddy Piper, but kind of bounces back and the Magnificent Don Morocco. But he bounces back against Matt Bourne and Bob Bradley and Rene Goulet and Jim the Anvil Neidhart and Johnny V before facing some losses to Big John Studd and Ken Patera. Interestingly enough, he's there for WrestleMania 1, but he's not used, not on the card. He's not wrestling. So just a interesting little nugget there, because they could have used it. He's there. He's a part of WWE at this point. He just wasn't used on WrestleMania 1 for whatever reason. He just was not on that card. He faces Ken Patera at MSG. He takes a loss, takes a few losses to Big John Studd before rolling on into the summer of 1986, where he's still in a good position, but it's interesting. Not really used on big shows as much. He is on all the MSG shows. He beats Matt Bourne in June of 85 on MSG. But he's losing to Cowboy Bob Orton. Then he starts losing to Nikolai Volkoff. Then he loses to Big John Studd again. Him and Ivan Putski lose to Bob Orton and Jesse the Body Ventura. He loses to Jesse Body Ventura one-on-one. Then him and George Wells defeated Bolo and John Rizzo on a TV taping. Then also defeated Les Thornton on an MSG TV taping as well. Then him and Ivan Putski defeated John Rizzo and Matt Bourne on a TV taping. Also, Lanny Poffo and Tony Atlas teaming and defeating Mr. X, a.k.a. Danny Davis, under a hood, and Barry O. Then Saturday night's main event number 2, 10-3-1985 from the Brendan Byrne Arena in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Huge match as Andre the Giant and Tony Atlas defeated Big John Studd and King Kong Bundy by DQ, 4 minutes and 30 seconds. That was a huge Saturday night's main event, of course, headlined by Hulk Hogan versus Nikolai Volkoff in a flag match. Tony Atlas then goes on to get victories over Beefcake. Valentine gets a DQ victory over the Iron Sheik, beats Moondog Spot, Moondog Rex. Actually gets a countout victory over Big John Studd before losing on television to the Macho Man Randy Savage on 11-9-85 from the NESN Network. Of course, from the Boston Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. A big show in Montreal. Tony Atlas gets a big win in 10 minutes over Big John Studd. Maybe a little bit of an upset on that one. Then he starts teaming up with Lanny Poffo, and they take a bunch of losses to the Hart Foundation. Then teams up with Tito Santana and defeats Jesse the Body Ventura and the Macho Man via DQ in 9 minutes from the Prison Network towards the end of 85. They also have him. He also has a match double duty that day, and it goes to the Boston Garden on NESN and defeated Moondog Spot, 7 minutes, 30 seconds, and then takes some losses to Jesse the Body Ventura, Big John Studd, and Adrian Adonis as we head into 1986. Lose to Adrian Adonis on NESN, then teams up with Ted Arcidi, defeated Neil Carr and Tiger Chung Lee. Then he defeats Barry O on the MSG Network, defeats Iron Mike Sharp on a primetime wrestling TV taping. So it's interesting kind of what they're doing with him. He's not really getting huge wins, but he's not suffering too many losses as well. When you look at his run there, he's not really on pay-per-view as they're starting to do pay-per-view, like I mentioned, not on WrestleMania 1, but he is on WrestleMania 2. He's a part of the WWF and NFL Battle Royale special referees, of course, with Dick Butkus and Ed Too Tall Jones. This WrestleMania 2, What the World is Coming To, was part two of this. This was in Chicago at the Rosemont Horizon in Rosemont, Illinois, 4/7/86. And of course, that Battle Royal was won by Andre the Giant. He then faces Dory Funk Jr., loses on a house show, loses to King Kong Bundy on MSG, then loses to Bundy again on NESN before losing to Harley Race in the summer of 86 on NESN, part of a TV taping, then an MSG Battle Royal, $50,000 Battle Royal, believe it or not, shockingly enough, won by Jimmy Hart. Then on that same day, Tony Atlas did defeat Lanny Poffo, 12 minutes, 30 seconds. So long match there. Takes a bunch of house show losses to King Harley Race before losing to Hercules Hernandez on television and Adrian Adonis on MSG. And that was really his last show. He takes a loss in 7 minutes, 20 seconds on 8/25/86 to Adrian Adonis, of course, New York, New York. He doesn't make his return until a year later, almost exactly a year later, so today, 8/28/1987, for the Paul Bosch retirement show at the Sam Houston Coliseum. Junkyard Dog and Tony Atlas defeated Kamala and Sika in 6 minutes on that show there. Very, very interesting show. Of course, not the main event, but headlined by Hulk Hogan defeating the one-man gang. And the main event of the evening was Tito Santana and Bill Mascaris with Jose Lothario defeating Axe and Smash, a.k.a. Demolition, via DQ. There, of course, they had Mr. Fuji in their corner at that time as well. He doesn't end up returning until 1990, where he defeats Haku on a bunch of house shows, defeats Barbarian on a house show, And then the gimmick change comes. So Mr. USA is going to become Mr. Africa and become Saba Simba, but that would be a different story for another day, as we'll cover that more in depth at a later date, maybe even next week. We'll see how it all turns out. But Mr. USA Tony Atlas, former WWF World Tag Team Champion with Soul Man Rocky Johnson. Interesting run there. I think everybody remembers Tony Atlas. Everybody pretty fond of him. Great look, pretty good wrestler. Just never was above that upper mid card. Not that everybody needs to be, not that everybody needs to be world champion, but he was a former WWF World Tag Team Champion. Let's hit the plugs. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, patreon.com/TMPTEmpire. Also, you can check us out on TeePublic, TeePublic.com/store/TMPT. Get your Hogan Era gear today. Thank you, everybody, for listening. See you right back here next time. Have a good one, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You can check us out on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.
We loved the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip. Get every pick right and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
The following bout is scheduled for one fall with a 45-minute time limit. Introducing first from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, weighing in at 273 pounds,
Canada's greatest athlete,
Iron Mike Sharp. The opponent from Roanoke, Virginia, weighing 261 pounds, Mr. USA, Tony Atlas.
Tony Atlas looking good here in the Baltimore Civic Center, as always. Gorilla Monsoon here at ringside with my colleague, Jesse the Body Ventura. And this should be a tremendous matchup.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this one, Gorilla. You got Atlas, I mean, Mr. Muscles himself going against Mr. Stamina, Iron Mike Sharp. claiming to be Canada's greatest athlete.
See, what Iron Mike's got to do here, he can't match up strength with Atlas. He's got to try to make this match go as long as he possibly can and try to tire out those big muscles on Bony Tony.
Well, he's a roughhouser anyway, Jeff. That's his style. Nice crisscross going on right now. Who's going to switch over? It's Atlas who does. Catches him with an arm drag coming in, and another. And a third. And there goes Canada's number one athlete in a hurry. He needed to break the momentum somehow, Jeff.
I'll tell you, I've never seen Atlas's arms looking any bigger than they are now.
He must have, what, 24, 25-inch biceps?
Who knows?
Gee, enormous. A lot of dedication to look like that, Jeff.
Atlas's arms are bigger than most people's legs.
Yep, you got that right. What would you say, a minimum of what, 3-4 hours a day at least, Jeff?
I have no idea on that one, Gorilla. Well, different guys train different ways. You know, lots of times I felt I got some of my greatest gains training less.
Uh-huh.
You know, it just all depends what you're doing.
Sometimes it makes you feel better. Look at this, unloading with the heavy artillery, Iron Mike Sharp. Going to work, wow. Gave about 10 shots in a row right to the back of the neck. Sharp now going to the outside to continue the onslaught.
Why?
What a shot.
Whoa. I don't care how big your pecs are, that's gotta hurt.
Clothesline drapes him over that top rope and drops right off the apron. Self-proclaimed Canada's number one athlete, looking pretty good. Wow, he missed that way. Way out left field. High crossbody. Doesn't hook anything. It doesn't get him.
Well, you're not going to get Iron Mike Sharp without hooking a leg.
Right in the breadbasket. Atlas now going to work on the kidney area. Iron Mike Sharp rams him right into that top turnbuckle. The ring to the other side for the same treatment. I don't know what the referee's complaining about. Wind up now, Irish whip in. Oh, caught him, ran right over him like a steamroller.
Boy, Atlas made the cardinal error there. He ducked his head and did not keep his eye on Mike Sharp. That's right, Gorilla. If you're going to go for a backdrop, you still have to keep that head up to see your opponent.
Sharp now taking advantage of the situation. Lots unloading again.
Lots of times in the heat of the action, though, you'll make a mistake like that. Now Atlas is paying for it.
Guys with a real impressive win and loss record just don't make that mistake very often. Could get a three count here, too. Whoa, close. But no cigar. Jam-packed. Here in the Baltimore Civic Center, sold out some 10 days ago for this World Wrestling Federation extravaganza. And no one will leave here disappointed. Look at this. He's not going to get him up there.
Whoa.
Can't make that mistake. The payback is too heavy.
That's right. If you're going to go for a pile driver, you best get it.
Suplex coming up. Nicely executed. Over for the cover. Oh, he's got that left arm out of there. Foot on the rope as well.
Beautiful use of those ring ropes by Mike Sharp right there.
It's important and imperative that you know exactly where you are at all times inside that squared circle. Reversal now. Nicely frogged by Mr. USA. And another flying head scissors. Hooks the leg with it. He may get it in. Tremendous maneuver by Mr. USA, Tony Atlas.
I never knew Tony had the brains to pull something like that off, Gorilla.
Combining two beautiful moves, hooking that flying head scissors, and as he came down, hooking the leg at the same time, enables him to get the win.
The winner of this bout, Mr. USA, Tony Atlas.
Iron Mike, very distraught about this loss. Let's take a look, Jeff.
Here's Tony Atlas firing Iron Mike Sharp into the ropes here. Big leapfrog. Atlas getting high in the air. Sharp ducking underneath. And here's the move the Gorilla talked about. Hooking that flying head scissors. And watch him hook and cradle that leg at the same time as Iron Mike goes over. He's got the head hooked. He's got the arm hooked. and manages to hold Mike Sharp down for the three count.
Well, had he not hooked that leg, Jess, Mike was right there where he could have reached the ring ropes once again, but it did not work. That man there, impressive victory here in the Baltimore Civic Center. Don't go away, plenty of action still to come.